appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, it is said that birthdays are good for you. In fact, statistics show that the people who have the most live the longest. But it is also a universally known and accepted fact that no matter how many birthdays we have, we are all going to die. And that is the truth. But is it the whole truth? In a moment, Kenneth Wong shares his thoughts on the matter.
Hello, everyone. It's really good to be with you again. Well, today we are going to talk about something we rarely like to talk about, and that is about death. But it's not just about death. It's about dying in our sins. This is a phrase that the Lord Jesus used twice in the Gospel of John chapter 8. First, he mentioned in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "I'm going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." In this, he's making reference to his coming, death, and departure from this world. But he is also alluding to the fact that men will die in their sins unless they come to him. Now, he makes this explicitly clear further down in a couple of verses in chapter 8, verse 24. And this is going to be our main text for today's consideration. Let me read John chapter 8, verse 24 to you. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." So twice in this verse and once in verse 21, he uses that phrase, "You will die in your sins." That is why I've entitled this talk, "Don't Die in Your Sins." Let me first talk a little bit about the truth about death. This is not a subject we usually like to talk about, much less think about. But it's necessary to do that because it's the common lot of men. It's something that every one of us, without exception, will have to come to. If we say, "You shall die," well, that's a universally known and accepted fact. Everyone is destined to die. So that's the truth, but it's not the whole truth. But if you say, "You shall die in your sins," as Jesus said, well, that is not so generally known as a fact. But it is, in fact, the whole truth about death. Death is a termination of life as we know it in our earthly physical form. But it's not a termination in the fullest sense of our entire constitution as a human being, comprising of spirit, soul, and body. In fact, it's a punctuation mark, if I may put it that way, not a termination. God designed man, and He created man to be immortal, with an unending life, so that man could be God's constant companion, so to speak. God created man to have a continuing communion with the eternal and the immortal one, who is God Himself. But when man sinned, this communion and fellowship with God was broken. There came a breach in this relationship between man and God. There was a break in life which was no longer immortal. And instead of eternal life, life became temporary. There was a punctuation in existence. And this is what death is. It's a separation from God as a consequence of sin. And the Bible defines death as the wages of sin. This is described in the book of Romans chapter 6 and the last verse, 23. Let me read that to you. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a wonderful thing to realize that it is not the end, although sin has entered and with it death. But then there is something else. There is the gift of God. Oh, I love to read about the buts in the Bible, and here is one of them. God was not prepared to relinquish the crown of His creation to lie ruined in sin. Instead, He provided a gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin may be death, but then there is the gift of God, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Death is the result of sin. Death is the penalty or the punishment for sin. But God has a remedy for that. And we'll come to that by and by in the next section, which I'll consider with you. But for now, let's note that death is inextricably linked to sin. It's not just a physical thing. Nobody just dies. It's because sin entered that death came about in the human race. It was not in the original design and purpose of God. Man was designed to continue in fullness of life and fellowship with God. Therefore, death is essentially a spiritual thing. It's not just a physical thing. Man is born in sin, and he will die in sin. And this is an accurate summary statement of all our earthly existence. Both history and the daily news testify to the reality and to the inevitability of sin on the earth. So we are all born in sin, and we will all likewise die in sin. Unless God does something to reverse the situation, and thank God He did, as we have read just now. Although the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And let's next consider God's solution for sin. God has provided a solution out of this damnation of death and this dominion of sin. He has destined man for Himself, not for destruction. And His solution for sin is encapsulated in that simple condition that we read implied in the text in John 8:24. And if I may put it before you first, it's this condition: if you believe. Now you ask, did I hear that read just now? Not quite. In John 8:24, it is put first in the negative. This is what it says: therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So it's put first in the negative: if you will not believe. So the implicit condition for not dying in your sins must therefore be the opposite: if you believe, you will not die in your sins. Now, our default condition is unbelief. We are all, without exception, in that state of unbelief before you come to faith in Christ. So if you do not believe in Jesus, then it shall be as determined from the beginning of sin. You shall die in your sins. But if you do believe, well, the implication is clearly the opposite. You shall not die in your sins. But instead, you will live forgiven lives that are freed from sin forever. And that is what eternal life means. Well, what then does it mean to believe that I am He, as Jesus said in John 8:24? Well, it's to believe that Jesus is the one whom God has sent to be our Savior from sin and death. It's to believe that He is the Son of God. Notice it says in the verse, if you do not believe that I am He. Now, those two simple words, I am, have great significance because it's one of the Old Testament names of God. When Moses, who was called by God to lead His people Israel, he began to reason and to argue with God, and he asked, what if they asked, who sent you? And this is what God told him. You go tell them that I am has sent you. Well, I am is the name of God as the ever-existent one. And it's significant that Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, signifying that He is God, and not just a good teacher and a good man. We have God as our Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Here is a simple statement of the good news of the gospel, that God has provided a solution for sin through a Savior, Jesus Christ. He has provided a way out of eternal separation and the eternal damnation of death. And in its place, we can have eternal communion and life with God through Jesus Christ. But then you may say, I don't see or feel the need to do anything about sin. It's not something that really bothers me. It's all very relative. What's sin to you is really nothing to me. Well, that's a very common argument. And those of us who are believers may even have held that position at one point in our lives before we believe. Well, the answer is simply this. It's not a matter of what you feel or think about sin, but rather what God thinks and says it is. And you and I alike, we're all accountable to God. Whether or not you are bothered by it is really immaterial, because it's a matter of fact and not opinion. You know, some people are not bothered about dying and they abuse their bodies, but they die anyway. So likewise, sin is a fact, whether you realize it and recognize it or not. And I'm here to help you do just that, to realize and to recognize sin for what it is through God's Word in the Bible. There are many people who seem to think they are not ready to talk about sin or think about sin yet, just like death. But you will not be ready for death until you have settled the question of sin. And those who have not settled the question of sin will die in their sins. But death is not the end of existence. It's not the end of sorrows. In fact, if we die in our sins, it's but the beginning of infinitely deeper and greater sorrows and sufferings. It will be beyond what we have ever known in this life before. And that's because it will go on throughout eternity in the dreadful state of eternal separation from God. The way to life is found only when the question of sin and death has been addressed and answered. And the time to settle the issue of sin is now, not when death is near. Why? Simply because you neither know the time nor the manner of your death. None of us do. What if you die in your sins? Surely it cannot be a peaceful or happy end, because it means a continuation of an eternal existence of separation from God and damnation, which is really what hell is. This is not a figment of man's imagination. These are to do with eternal realities. Heaven and hell are eternal destinies that are determined by our decisions in this life. Sometimes it's really difficult to understand why people can do so much to ensure that every contingency and possibility is covered and insured for in this life, and yet give absolutely no thought or consideration or provision for the next. So we recognize and realize sin as a fact and not an opinion. But there is more. We can be free from sin. If you believe in Him, sin no longer has dominion over you. In the same chapter 8 of John's Gospel, in verse 32, this is what we read. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is the truth about life, about death, truth as revealed by God in His Word, the Bible. It is by understanding the revelation of the truth of God that men and women are enabled to make informed decisions. A couple of verses on in verse 36, he makes a further point about being set free from sin. This is what John 8:36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." What a glorious statement of fact and of truth. You see, truth is ultimately someone. It's not just something. Truth is a person, not just a philosophy. It's not just a body of thought or thinking. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So to be precise, it's the truth about Jesus Christ as our Savior that will set us free from sin and death. It's not something that we are capable of doing on our own, but we have His Word. If He sets us free, we shall be free indeed. And this gives us an added motivation for being set free from sin. Not just so that we will not die in our sins, but that we might be able to live our lives beginning from now to be free from the dominion of sin. Now, as an unbeliever, we often don't reason in this way because our reasoning has been totally adulterated and corrupted. And we would normally think like this: I would like to have my way, do my own thing, live in sin, basically, for as long as I can. And then maybe at some time in the future, I'll get serious about sin so that I make sure I won't die in my sins. That's the way we would reason. And all this talk about truth and setting me free from sin, it sounds very prohibitive. It inhibits my freedom. It's really something I think I can do without, at least for now. But in fact, it is not like that at all. When we are set free from sin, we begin to live a life that is higher and deeper in level than we have ever known before or are capable of knowing. Imagine a caged animal born in a zoo. It has always known life behind bars or in a constricted and an artificially constrained environment. It has never enjoyed the freedom that wild animals have in their natural habitat. But suppose the zookeepers have primed and prepared and groomed them and gotten them ready for a life of their own in the forest or their natural habitat. And the line of reasoning would likely be something similar. I'm not sure if I want to face the prospect of finding my own food and risking being eaten alive by other animals. Maybe I should just stay here. I am well fed. I can just roam around my enclosure day after mundane day, going round in circles clockwise and then counterclockwise, moving left and right and then right to left. And because it has never really tasted genuine freedom before, it's very difficult for it to imagine how far superior the quality of life is compared to what it has experienced so far. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So you have the Lord's Word. It's a life that is free from sin, and it's an abundant life. And it's going to be much more abundant than you can ever imagine or have ever experienced or known before. And you can start right here and right now. You don't need to wait till death comes knocking on your door. Eternal life, which is an everlasting life of restored and uninterrupted communion with God, can begin now. When believers die, they do not die in their sins, and they can look forward to a glorious, eternal existence of perfect fellowship with God, which is what heaven is. The most important thing to know in order to make this critical and informed decision is that it has to be made now in this life and not after we die. Our eternal destiny and destination in afterlife is determined by our decision in this life. And the most significant discovery we can make in life is that we are not really helpless about death. Did you know that you can actually do something about it? And won't you do that now and not delay? If God has been speaking to you through this message and you have not really settled the question of sin, you may want to do that now if you're ready. You may be actually near death physically, but most likely you're not. But every one of us, without exception, can be near the point of death without knowing anything about it. And we don't want to die in our sins. We want to live free from sin. And if you want to come into this salvation and enjoy eternal security in Christ Jesus, you can say this prayer with me and make it your own. Dear God, I have heard the truth about death and about life, and I do not want to die in my sins. In fact, I want to live free from my sins, and I want to do as I have heard in John 8:24. I want to believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior sent by you to save me from my sin. I believe that He is the Son of God, that He is my Savior. And as you have said in your word, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And you have also said in your word that you have come that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. So, Lord, I receive your true and complete freedom from sin and the abundant and eternal life that you have come to give me. And I thank you for this great gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. I ask all this in your name. Amen. And surely this must have been a most refreshing time, especially if you have been truly reached by His word today.
What we think or feel about sin will not alter the inevitable. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that will come judgment. Do you want to die in your sin? Or, through God's grace and mercy, do you want to live free from sin? It's your choice. Thank you for that word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And tomorrow, Kenneth has a word for young people. So plan to join us then. Right now, though, just before we leave you, we'd like to encourage you to drop us a line. Maybe you have a comment or a question on the program. Simply send us a text message to 943-13813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. Maybe you have not been able to listen to every broadcast each evening. Well, if you go to our website, you can listen online, or you can download the program to your smartphone or to your MP3 player. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.